I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché. You go right, you go right, you go left, you go right, you go right.
It's Touché here on the download.
Touché.
720 WGN, Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling in studio as they are every Monday night. Great to see you guys.
Happy Monday.
You guys.
Monday.
I feel like we always start the week off strong.
Beautiful WGN.
With the two of you arguing over politics. There's nothing better in my mind.
Politics argument of Chicago.
And then that starts your week off strong. And then what happens?
It just all goes downhill from there, right?
No.
All right.
It only
goes up from here. Talk about the. We're coming up on Trump's 200 days here.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a marker
celebrate.
That you would say.
Virginia Tech.
But let's talk about that. 200 days. Where do you rate this presidency?
Yeah, David.
Well, you know, Chris, it's going to come as a huge surprise to you that I would argue that these are the worst 200 days in modern American political history.
Worst.
It's just a train wreck.
Some popular support out there from the
train wreck. Because you look at it. Okay. All the conservatives will say is Gorsuch. It's like become a reflex. It's like, well, Trump sucks. He can't get anything done. But Gorsuch. We got Gorsuch.
Oh,
I'm like, yeah, you got Gorsuch with the nuclear option. Congratulations. But in the meantime, healthcare dead.
It's alive.
Tax reform. Good luck getting
a
consensus on that one.
Yeah.
And by the way, there was a new report out just this past weekend that said that of the top 40 positions in the State Department, 38 are still vacant.
Now I hear that story,
but David,
and I say
that's going to ask you tomorrow morning to join.
Yeah,
I've already been asked to be the new communications director of the White House because everybody else said no.
Well, Chris, so. I've heard that both ways on both sides, where Republicans say that the Democrats are standing in the way of appointments.
There's some of that going on, but you know, hey, 200 days in, we're getting exactly what I think we all expected. Trump is bombastic and annoying and says goofy things in his tweets and hurts himself frequently. The folks beneath him, not at the White House, but over in the administration, they're doing a lot of work. They're getting a lot of regulations repealed and things like that. That's terrific. I agree with David. I mean, the whole situation with Congress is I totally blame this not so much on Trump, but really on Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan. We've talked about that. We can talk about it a little more. But I think that, we've got a shot. We got Trump 2.0 with General
Aren't
Kelly.
Are we on 5.0 at this point?
No, we're on Trump 2.0, David. Pay attention. And,
was 2.0.
I think that things could get better.
Let me ask you about the economy. That's a big point. You've said it all along. The economy seems to be doing well. Wall Street's up.
But
jobs are up.
Yeah, but first of all, it's not up enough. Job creation is not up enough. What basically we're seeing is, not to say a straight line, but I mean, basically a trend line continuation of the growth under Obama. And I played this straight all along. The unemployment figure was wrong for Obama. It's wrong for Trump. The employment figure was not good enough for Obama. It's not good enough for Trump. And
because it's almost the same.
It neither was good enough for the American people and for this country. And that's what Trump has got to focus on. Although I don't think that healthcare is entirely dead. I think there will be an attempt to do something. But the key thing here is the economy.
All right. So let's talk about the other areas that he promised to make changes and he's moved one way or the other. Let's talk about immigration being one, illegal immigration crackdowns. He's also last week said they put a bill together with GOP senators to actually curb legal immigration. So
yeah,
immigration
has become. Let's talk about that bill. I last week was the Trump administration and the right-wing Bannon cadre, Bannon and Stephen Miller and all the right-wing fascist wannabes. The idea that they are
to say, I never.
You're
called,
right. They're not a fascist
never,
wannabe.
Wait a minute.
They're
wait,
just
wait,
fascists.
Just hold on a second, David. Did I ever say that?
Allegedly.
You know, Valerie Jarrett and her folks were commie wannabes. No.
You've got to be kidding. Hey, Chris.
I never did.
You can't lie
did.
On the air.
Well, I'm not
okay,
lying.
You can, but.
I never said that.
Don't.
All right.
Come on.
And to start name calling just shows how weak
your argument. Back to immigration. Back to immigration.
Fine. How about the proposal to cut green cards in half to put the kind of restrictive tests that none of our ancestors could have satisfied to get in this country? If these tests were in place when Chris and I don't know when your parents came, grandparents, great grandparents.
Well, I'll tell you.
Came to this country. Mine came here in the early part of the 20th century. Okay. No way. Could have gotten in.
Chris.
No way. Look, it's not the early part of the 20th century. It's not the 18th century when Enoch Fitzhenry ran off of a British man of war to get away from the British Navy, which he did not join voluntarily. He was pressed into service.
Your great-great-great-great-grandfather was a draft dodger out of a foreign navy? So
no,
was mine.
No, he was not a draft dodger. He was pressed into service. I mean,
yes,
that was
pressed into service and then escaped.
Yeah, and he escaped.
Mine too.
Keep moving.
But what you're talking about here is an immigration policy that is good for America and our economy and our workers in 2017. And what we had under Obama was this open door to the welfare rolls of the United States. And that's exactly what we got.
False. Nonsense. Not even remotely true. Look, the policy that was put out by last week from the podium basically rejected the values as presented in the Statue of Liberty. It did. I'm sorry.
No,
Stephen Miller said, but that poem, Give Us Your Tired, Your Poor, Your Hungry, Yearning to Breathe Free. That was added later, so it doesn't really count. No, it does count. It's the fabric of this country. And by the way, part of that fabric is encouraging the bringing whole families over and uniting families. It's one of the reasons that assimilation has been so effective, why we have the Great American Melting Pot.
Let me ask you.
I think the fabric that David wants to support is, you know, having people in the United States who have been deported 20 times, never effectively, and then they go out and they commit felony.
Let's make a transition because we're talking about two different things. As Steve, I don't want to be Stephen Miller to you guys, but there's a difference between legal and illegal, legal and illegal immigration. Let's talk about illegal immigration. Sanctuary cities, the Department of Justice comes down.
Rahm
and says,
made a fool of himself yet again today, showed once again he cannot read in public, which is really pathetic. And even though I dislike the guy intensely,
I said nice things.
I'm happy to go over there, the fifth floor, and sort of get him through some elocution lessons, because it's embarrassing to have a mayor of the city of Chicago who cannot say the word Moldova without tripping over himself and then coming back and saying,
really?
Moldovia.
That's not your problem.
Go read that thing or go listen to it and see how bad he did. Now, on the substance, he's basically saying it's a Chicago value to break federal law and we're going to preserve it.
Not exactly what the mayor was saying.
Exactly.
You can go after Rahm for his elocution, but this is a city with a great history of inarticulate mayors. The police are here to preserve disorder, not cause disorder, or whatever Richard J. Daley said in 1968.
You know, tonight you're really living
in the past.
You got to get hip, man. It's 2017.
The point is, that's not Rahm's point. There's a legitimate issue here as to whether you're essentially trying to turn minority communities into basically turning their backs on the police. And it's the same issue that happened with illegal immigration on the Muslim ban. If you need the support of these communities if you are to have a safe city. And what Chris is proposing would not encourage that.
All right,
it's utterly absurd. David is going down the realm. He's going down the path of having no-go zones. That's where this ends up. If we don't have federal law applying in all counties, in every town, every hamlet, every state of this country, we don't have a lawful country. David is an attorney. He's sworn to uphold the law. He didn't take an oath to uphold the law only when convenient or when in the right neighborhood. What he's talking about is a total derogation of the rule of law. And that's what Rahm needs. Why? Because Democrats get votes from these communities.
Nonsense. You're pulling the whole 3 million illegal votes.
You guys are both going zero evidence. You guys are both going to the far reaches of the arguments here. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Tony wants to know, is Trump's main goal to eliminate anything Obama did as president? That's what we'll talk about coming up here after the break. Touche. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
Well, that's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché. You go
right. All right, here we go. Touche. Chris Roedling, Dave Lundy. Let's talk about, we're talking about Touché. Trump 200 days yes. here as we go through all the different areas. Let's talk international. How do you think Trump's been doing on the foreign policy beat?
You know, I think you've got to give him some marks. I don't. David's going to give him an F minus, but I'll tell you, I think he gets a B minus, and I'll tell you why. Here's a great example. Just, what is it, 6 days ago, we have a unanimous Security Council resolution in the United Nations that is tightening the screws on one of the world's most rogue regimes, North Korea. And that is in large part because of leadership from President Trump and diplomacy by Nikki Haley. And the fact that, notwithstanding what the Democrats have said from the beginning of Trump's campaign, which has never been true, he's actually worked with our allies to get people thinking the same way, even communist China.
Well, is this just sort of rose-colored glasses? I mean, is there really that much of a difference between the way that presidents approach a foreign hostile like North Korea?
Well, number one, no. Number two, you know, it's funny. Chris is now saying, "Well, Trump got China to do this thing." I'm like, didn't Trump like a week and a half ago slam China in a tweet because of their failure to help with North Korea?
Maybe that's why they're
really,
helping now.
Really,
Dave?
Really, diplomacy by tweet?
Jeez, Dave.
Jeez, Chris.
Where do you scales off your eyes and watch a little bit?
My argument here,
yeah.
Is that
what
Trump
is
has
argument?
Abrogated leadership on the global stage. As Angela Merkel said, you no longer have a G20. You've got a G19. The United States is AWOL. And you could see that in the State Department with the absence of filling the positions, with Rex Tillerson's great disappearing act. He's been completely invisible. I'm like, where has Rex Tillerson? Oh, wait, I know where Rex Tillerson was. He was in the Philippines yucking it up with that murderous bastard Duterte, who's the head of the Philippines, who's killed. What do you mean it's ridiculous?
It's
He's
ridiculous.
Killed thousands and thousands and thousands of his people with no judicial process
that
whatsoever, including
ridiculous.
A mayor today. Which part is ridiculous? It's
100%
true.
Here is what's ridiculous. Your idea that somehow the Trump administration has been absent. I mean, Trump still already goes down in history. The first president to address the leaders of every Muslim country, 54 Muslim countries show up in Riyadh to listen to Donald Trump, to accept his view of things. And he was unvarnished in that talk. He said, we not only have to get it out of our societies, we've got to get it out of our places of worship.
Politico had a big article about
very
the
tough
East.
To say, compare that to Obama weaseling around the Cairo University talk in 2009. Trump is an active player. And when you quote Merkel, you're quoting a eurocrat who just wants more government, more, you know, sort of
otherwise
bureaucracy.
Known as the most important European leader. But
she's
of course,
the most important
you,
European
she's
leader.
Absolutely the most important European leader and has been for more than a decade. And only you, through your Trump-colored glasses, can somehow turn her into a, quote, eurocrat and diss this woman as if she's unimportant.
Well,
look,
the
fact is one of the key areas in for global leadership is in the area of climate change. And in the area of climate change...
Wrong. Climate change doesn't exist the way
you think
it does.
Oh, my God. You have got to be kidding
climate
me.
Change
you know,
has
Chris,
been
the funny
going
thing,
on,
the article
Dave.
You pointed to in the New York Times that's coming out is going to say that a draft report prepared for the Trump administration has concluded that, in fact, the average temperature in the United States has risen rapidly and dramatically since 1980, and recent decades have been the warmest in the past 1,500 years. And the reason they leaked this report is because they were afraid that people like in the Trump administration are going to bury it.
Yeah, well,
this is
be,
critical. It's happening, and it's having real-world effects.
My gosh, your filibuster gear is really engaged tonight.
All right.
I'm amazed.
Let's talk.
Maybe you should
the
run
last
for the
part.
Senate.
The last part. Yeah, right. 2 minutes. We only have about 3 minutes left here. Let's talk about the media and
media.
Leaks. And this is
the media hates Trump, and the leaks come from the deep state, which hate Trump.
Deep state. There goes Chris again.
But Chris,
don't all presidents
for the last 50 years
nonsense.
Have to deal with leaks coming out of
yes,
the White House?
Everybody has to deal
so
with
leaks.
So is
it that special, or is yes, he making it
so
special?
So was it the deep state against Obama?
Here is a very serious example from just the last 3 or 4 days. When you release the transcripts of the conversations between Trump and other heads of either state or government. I think it was heads of government. You're talking about unprecedented leaks. And I'm delighted that Attorney General Sessions announced on Friday that he is going, the Obama administration was tough on this, much tougher than any prior administration. And now Jeff Sessions and the Trump administration is going to be even tougher than the Obama.
But that being said, the idea that's being painted by the Trump administration is that they've had it so unfair compared to other presidents. And I'm saying, I think of Edward Snowden, I think of WikiLeaks, I think of the things that the Obama administration, and I'm no fan of that. The idea that, you know, finding out that our phones are being hacked, that's crazy. Right. But those are big leaks that the Obama administration wanted to deal with and did not want that to come out.
This is nothing new. I actually agree with Chris to a point about those transcripts. I think it's problematic when the leaders don't think they can have a private conversation with the president of the United States. That said, those transcripts revealed a couple of really interesting things. Number one, they revealed that all those stories that were written at the time that Trump and the White House said were all fake news. They were nonsense. It didn't happen. There was no tension in the call.
Right.
Of course, it all happened exactly as the media reported it at the time. And one of the things that the Trump has been going on and on about fake news is that every time he does that, it's about a report he doesn't like. And later they turn out to be true. There have been so few that have turned out to be
not true.
There
is a stack of about 50 stories, very prominent stories that have been absolutely discredited. But the point David misses here, which is shocking because he is a licensed attorney in the state of Illinois.
Actually, I'm not. I'm a recovered lawyer.
You're a former. So okay. Once you were licensed. Maybe this is why you're no longer licensed.
Anyway,
I want to tell you, I who did not.
Inactive
I
status.
I who took 2 years of law school
Putz.
And left. But I want to tell you here. David is wrong not to point out the second basis upon which this is deeply troubling. He's right about heads of government or heads of state have to be able to talk to each other. The second point is this. The people who had possession of those transcripts are under a legal obligation not to release
right.
them. They broke the law. They committed a
Absolutely.
Felony. And I hope they're thrown in jail for it.
And we don't know where those leaks came from.
We will shortly.
But this is one of the challenging things is that the leaks are coming from within the White House itself.
Much more to talk about, and we will continue Monday night's Touché. Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling.